Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into the podcast, Dodging to the Ravine. It is your host, Young Stud, accompanied today in my co-host, and Jacob. Jake, we're in the full swing of things with Dodgers baseball. The Dodgers just completed a seven-game homestand to begin the season. Feels pretty good to be watching Dodger baseball and home cooking.
Yeah, I would agree with you. We are now two series into the season, technically three if you're a Dodgers or a Padres fan. And like you said, things are now into full motion. Ohtani hit his first home run at Dodger Stadium in the sweep against the Giants. So, you know, that's going to be replayed a lot. And yeah, sweep against the Giants. That's always a good thing to hear as a Dodgers fan.
Yes, talking about the Giants and the Dodgers series in this podcast, and it is going to be headlined with, as you mentioned, the Shohei Ohtani home run as he hit his first as a Los Angeles Dodgers. So it's already making a bunch of airwaves and going viral on social media, as it should, rightfully so. Love it. And so we'll get into the Ohtani home run when that game does come up on the schedule here, but yeah, as you mentioned, sweeping the San Francisco Giants. The Giants came into town 2-2 after splitting with the Padres, and really, like, the Giants, they try to compete, but they're not on the same level as the Dodgers.
They spent a lot of money in the offseason. You know, I think total, they traded for Robbie Ray. He was a little bit expensive, even though he's injured. They spent roughly, you know, $100 million in this past offseason. And it wasn't like they picked up bad players, but just the dominance that the Dodgers have. Like, the only competing teams, really, it's got to be the Padres or the Diamondbacks still. You got to give the reigning NL champs their props to.
Yeah. I think the Dodgers definitely showed that they're a class above the Giants, which isn't a shocker, but even the Padres, I would hesitate on saying, oh, they're on the Dodgers level. I don't think they are, but we'll see when they match up again. If they definitely go. Again, the Giants competed. They lost a couple of games by a run, but clearly just not on the same level as the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to lead off this show with Will Smith. We didn't talk about his extension that he got. What was it, a week ago now? I think it was about a week ago. So, we'll talk about Will Smith here really quickly. Do you love the contract extension for Will Smith? 10-year extension. He'll essentially retire a Dodger.
10-year extension for a catcher? I think a lot of people are going to say that it's a lot of years. But with the way, you know, MLB contracts are structured nowadays, players are playing well into their late 30s. And that's exactly where his contract ends. I think around 38 or 39 years old. And $50 million of it is deferred. So you can add that to the 68 or the $680 million along with all the other contracts. So for Will Smith, securing a 10-year contract, you know, he's pretty much securing the pension, securing the history. You know, I'm pretty sure his number will be retired by the end of that.
Wow, you're really going out on a limb. Saying number retired.
I'm going out on it. No, I think Will Smith really has the potential to be possibly the best catcher the Dodgers have ever had, more so than Mike Piazza. And you know, I think his number just may potentially get retired. There's a chance of that.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a chance. We can't see 10 years down the line, but if he does end his career as a Dodger playing 16, 17 big league seasons, whatever it will be by that point, and a couple of rings, which he already has won, I think there's a pretty good chance. So, Will Smith could definitely go down as one of the all-time great Dodgers, especially definitely on the catching side. I do like the Will Smith extension, $140 million. That's an absolute bargain. Now, it was the third highest contract for a catcher ever. Catchers don't get paid a ton of money for obvious reasons, but third highest ever, 140, 10 years, signing me up all day. When I saw it, I was super hyped about it. So glad to have Will Smith here with the Dodgers for a very long time. Going to be part of the core four, right? Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Smith, at least for the foreseeable future, next couple of years. So, yeah, looking forward to it. And really, Will Smith, is it fair to say, he kind of reminds me of Buster Posey, light.
Not defensively, but offensively, yeah.
Yeah. So,
people about winning an MVP, but you know he's definitely one of the best offensive catchers out there. Buster Posey is a big comparison,
right? And I have all the respect for Buster Posey. He's honestly one of my favorite players. Like you mentioned, one MVP, three World Series championships, and all that. Will Smith has a chance to win a couple of more rings himself, like I mentioned. So he'll have the rings. Probably won't win an MVP, but just as good offensively as Buster Posey. That's why I say the light version of Buster Posey, because he kind of reminds me of him, that same attitude mantra about him. I like the way Will Smith goes about it. So glad to have Will Smith here. 10-year contract, I get it. It's super long. But the Dodgers are clearly building a cornerstone to this franchise.
A cornerstone, a dynasty of 10 years and plus. They're, you know, thinking about it, Will Smith is going to be Shohei's catcher for the rest of his career. It's really interesting now.
Yeah, there you go. And, like, again, this is kind of new because the Dodgers for a while weren't really locking anybody up for a long time. I mean, they obviously signed Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman for 6 and 12 years, but beyond that, 2-3 year deals maybe is kind of what we were seeing for a while there with any player, you name them. And now we're seeing a bunch of guys get signed long term. The Dodgers not being afraid to say, hey, we're going all in this decade. So looking forward to it. The Dodgers taking on the Giants on Monday night. It was an 8-3 victory for the Dodgers. And Teoscar Hernandez, we talked about him last pod. You were hesitant to really open up to Teoscar and say he's the real deal. Are you now open to saying he's the real deal?
Teo is the real deal. You know, he definitely had a slow start, I'm going to say. Not the slowest start. You know, he's really picked up the pace in this Giants series. He's been cracking the ball a lot. He's been getting really solid contact. And in the moments where we were down, and you know, he's popped a couple of home runs, pretty much gave us that window to go and take the lead. And you know, if this is what he does, then maybe this is too soon to say, but you know, maybe they do give him that 3-4 year extension that the Dodgers have gave out in the past. You know, Justin Turner, Chris Taylor, both of those guys have gotten 4-year contracts from the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm already thinking about it, right? It's game number 9 that we just finished. I'm already thinking about extending Teoscar Hernandez. Like, I really want him back on the Dodgers for not only this year, but for years beyond this year. So I think he's a perfect fit here with the Dodgers. He looks great in the Dodger uniform. His swing clearly plays at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, I'm all for extending Teoscar right now. Of course, he's on a big contract, 1 year, $23 million. I think $8 million deferred, so $15 million. But, Yeah, so I'm all for re-signing Teoscar Hernandez already off the bat. Obviously, we have a long way to go this season, but I think Teoscar Hernandez is going to feast with the Dodgers this year. And he should get a pretty big payday when the season is up. Whether it's from the Dodgers or from somebody else, he is going to eat in this lineup. James Paxton got the start on Monday night, the 5th starter for the Dodgers. And, of course, James Paxton, a journeyman, 10-year veteran in the big leagues. Lefty, big maple, what they call him, right? Pretty tall, lanky out there on the mound. And he was all right, right? He did good enough for the Dodgers. Were you happy with James Paxton's effort as the 5th guy in the rotation?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about Paxton before in the past. You know, he's pretty much one of those one-year deals that the Dodgers go out and get. Tyler Anderson, Andrew Heaney. You can even make a joke about Trevor Bauer, but yeah, James Paxton, you know, what do you give for us? The fifth man spot? You know, it's pretty much what we signed him for. Just consistency, innings, and he wasn't bad really. I don't know if he got the win or not, but I'm positive that, you know, versus the team like the Giants, he can bring that into his next start.
Yeah, and with most big league starters coming out of the fifth spot, it's just about eating innings. You're not looking for anything elite. You're not getting, Clayton Kershaw in the fifth spot. You're just getting a guy that could eat innings, give you five innings, maybe give up four runs, and you'll be happy. But yeah, Paxton was pretty good. And I did see an interesting comment about Paxton on Twitter. Talking about, well, you know what, when guys get healthy, maybe we could see Paxton later in the season in the bullpen. Does that sound good to you?
It definitely sounds like a possibility, and why not? You know, you're gonna have Kershaw potentially coming back, Walker Buehler coming back. I'm not too sure about Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May. And you know, the bullpen is a little bit short of left-handed pitchers. You know, you pretty much have Ryan Yarbrough and Alex Vesia down there, and Ryan Yarbrough is, you know, arguably the most dependable one. So adding Paxton in there would feel like a bonus, you know. You get back Buehler, you get back one of your starting guys, you know, who's really solid, and then you add another lefty who you've been using all season. Like that seems like a good move.
Yeah, so I'm kind of mad that I think that I did not think about that first. That was a really good comment by that guy that made that comment. So yeah, Paxton in the bullpen sounds pretty intriguing. So I'm definitely open to it because, like you mentioned, the Dodgers do have a lack of left-handers. Vesey, I don't trust. Yarbrough is a long man. He's not a situational guy. So they need more of a situ another situational guy down there. So Paxton maybe could be that guy. Of course, I'm looking at probably a deadline addition for a lefty, but maybe Paxton is that guy. I could definitely see it happening. I'll be interested to see if it does. But top of the lineup in that game went 6 for 11. You're going to hear a lot of the top of the lineup in this series. They just absolutely feasted on the Giants pitching staff. 6 for 11, they reach base half of the time. This Dodger team is going to be pretty good. They're 7-2. Like, this team is going to win 100 games easily again.
I think we had said like 106 or like 107 a couple pods ago. Excuse me for my voice. 100 wins, you know. First 9 games, you're 7-2. What does that even out to? Like 110 games or something like that?
Well, me and you did do the predictions.
Yeah.
Remember, I told you that they would make the record. I think I said that. Right?
I
I think you wrote it
remember
down.
that I've written it down. I'll have to check on that.
Yeah, you did write it down. I remember you were writing it down. I think I said 113 and 49 or something like that. Now, of course, I changed my prediction in my YouTube video. I said 109, so I dropped it by 4 games. But yeah, like, they're going to be right around there flirting with that win total that he just had a couple of years ago. This team is going to be pretty good. And the defense, like, I'm not really seeing any bad defense. Like, we were so worried about it in spring training, and Gavin Lux has been fine. I haven't really hit him, haven't seen him do any hiccups. Mookie Betts, the same thing. Like, this Dodger team is firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, you mentioned Gavin Lux. You know, it could have just been like the spring fevers, maybe. You know, he was just returning from that pretty devastating injury. You know, I think everybody remembers that. So let's call it spring fever. You know, he's just getting back into it. Nervousness, you know, excitement, stress. It's the regular season, and he's doing it now. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. And how about Miguel Rojas? He's had a couple of nice hits as well whenever he's had the chance.
Yeah, Miguel Rojas had himself a couple of home runs in this series. And of course, Joe Davis was talking about it endlessly, talking about, oh, it took him 258 at-bats last year to get his first home run. And he has two now in 8 at-bats. So that's actually pretty insane when you think about that. Miguel Rojas just pulling the ball down the line over that little short fence in left field, and he's taking him out. So if you're getting home runs out of Miguel Rojas, that's just an added bonus, right? He platoons against the lefties. I mean, watch out.
Is Miguel Rojas going to have a Silver Slugger season?
Don't count him up now. He just might. He just might. On Tuesday night, the Dodgers will get a 5-4 victory over the Giants, clinching a series win. And we had a bullpen game. We had a bullpen game in the 8th game of the season. I sent a tweet out on Twitter. We're in mid-season form. Because this is like classic Dodgers mid-season form. Let's just throw a random bullpen game, because why not? They pushed they pushed Glasnow and Miller back a couple days, everybody back a couple days, to give them rest after a week into the season. Do you like that? Do you like the bullpen games? Are you for resting guys? Is it just premature? Do you trust what they're doing?
I do, actually. You know, during the game today, the Joe Davis was saying that, you know, the Dodgers have been making for to maintain the health of their starting pitchers. And, you know, that pretty much equates to what you're saying, you know. Bullpen game, random, let's just throw a random guy out there. By pushing the starters back, you know, a game or two, it's not too bad. You know, especially when you consider, you know, what we have and what's injured. You know, you don't want any of these healthy guys to get put with the injured guys. Like, you're just, you know, you have to call someone else up from the minors, and, you know, you're just going to have to worry about filling that spot. So push them back a game or two, it's no biggie to me.
Yeah, we know the amount of Dodger pitchers on the helm. It's quite a long list of them. So maybe they just needed rest. Maybe they need more rest. And, of course, with Ohtani pitching next year, you're going to see a 6-man rotation. That should be the case, at least. That was the case with the Angels. They had a 6-man rotation. I would expect a 6-man rotation with the Dodgers from 2025 and beyond, because that's what Shohei Ohtani is going to need. So get ready for a 6-man rotation. It's just going to push everybody back, give them more rest. And unlike the Angels, who are not a good baseball team, the Dodgers are a good baseball team, and it just might help out their pitchers that much more.
An all-healthy Dodgers rotation in 2026, who do you see?
25 or 26?
Well, I know Ohtani's going to be healthy by 25, so I guess technically 25.
Ohtani, Miller, Glasnow, Yamamoto, there's four. And you'll find two guys from there.
And then you either, you know, Kershaw's either still on this team, or you bring back Walker Buehler in free agency.
Yeah, but I definitely think the four guys I mentioned, well, I don't think they will be four of your six starters in 2025. But yeah, bullpen game on Tuesday. You know, bullpen games are bullpen games. The Dodgers love them. Of course, most of the Dodger front office is from Tampa Bay, who kind of invented the bullpen game, so it makes sense that they're into bullpen games and all that. Brazier got the first inning, and then Ryan Yarbrough got the bulk of the innings. That was the first time we had seen him, I believe, since opening day. So he was off quite a while, kind of preparing for this game. And you know what? He didn't do as well in this role. 4 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, only 1 strikeout. Definitely was going through it, definitely worked hard for it. But you know what? He got the job done, and the Dodgers gave him enough run support.
The run support was there. The offense came through, and it was enough to secure the win. You know, it's pretty much the the sum of all these games. You know, Giants were down, you know, 1-2 runs, and the Dodger offense was, you know, pulling it off, and defense held the line.
Yeah, top of the lineup once again in this game on Tuesday. Went 5-for-12, Mookie Betts with another home run. Mookie Betts playing on a different level. To begin the season, there was like tweets and Instagram posts about he leads the league in everything, every category offensively. He's leading the league. So, yeah, Mookie Betts is playing out of his mind so far. Went on base a couple times again in today's game. But, yeah, a bullpen game. Evan Phillips did get the save. I believe it was a 5-out or 4-out save that he ended up getting.
4-out save.
4-out save?
Yeah.
4-out save, yeah. So, good on Evan Phillips for getting that save recorded because the Dodgers definitely needed that win. And we didn't see Evan Phillips again this series, leading into Wednesday game where they would sweep the San Francisco Giants by yet another 5-4 victory. And, of course, the headline of this game was the Shohei Ohtani first Dodger home run. You're going to see this Dodger home run replayed for ages.
And it was off of one of the Roger twins. You know, pretty interesting how those guys both became Giants. And you know, one of them gives up the first Ohtani home run in Dodger Stadium. And it was he crushed that ball. I mean, for where that ball was and he pulled it, like, he absolutely just snapped and cracked on that baseball.
Yeah, there was really no doubt about it once it left the bat. You knew that was gone. And so that was kind of the first time we saw the ball leave Ohtani's bat and say, oh, yep, that's gone. And so, again, he was hitting the ball hard, but just wasn't getting the distance on the ball. So that one definitely had the distance and more. And Ohtani did pull that one into the right center field bleachers. And it was a great moment. Great moment. Finally got it done. Finally feels relieved to get it off of his back. The first Dodger home run. We were all anticipating it. And glad he got it done at home, right? Glad he got it done at home. Of course, they're about to hit the road. So just in the nick of time, did Ohtani get that first Dodger home run. And hopefully that's the first of many, many more.
First of many and many, many more. I think before the season started, I think a lot of the props and the bets were Ohtani with like 39 or 40 home runs. So he's got one down. So whether he ends the season with 30, 25, or 40, you know, that first one's going to get replayed regardless.
Yeah, not only this year, but 10 years later, it'll get replayed for sure. So very happy to see that Ohtani home run leave the ballpark. And Tyler Glasnow did get this start in this game. 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 7 Ks. I mean, the guy's an ace. I don't know what else to say. The guy's an ace. I kind of knew this before or when we got him. He was already one of my favorite guys before we got him. And he is living up to the hype with the Dodgers.
Yeah, Glasnow is pretty much the ace. You know, he was the Tampa Bay Rays ace before he was traded. You know, during the 2020 World Series, I believe it was himself who got the game one start. I don't think it was Blake Snell. So, you know, this guy has playoff experience, you know, versus the Dodgers, which is funny. You know, he's played in the World Series. He's an ace. He's from Southern California. He grew up a Dodger fan. I mean, and Tyler Glasnow is like, and he has perfect hair. Like, he's just everything you want out of a pitcher.
Yeah, so obviously playing in a small market like Tampa Bay, coming over to the Dodgers with World Series expectations every single year, it's literally been a breeze for him so far. It hasn't even fazed him at all. He's the same guy that he was in Tampa Bay. So Tyler Glasnow was the Dodger ace, and I have no problem saying that. I did have a problem a couple weeks ago because we paid Yamamoto all that money. But at this point, it's a team effort, and Glasnow is the guy right now, right? He's the guy, and he'll be the guy moving forward. So I'm really hyped for Tyler Glasnow. Circling back to Ohtani, hypothetically speaking, I think, well, Maybe we haven't, because the Pujols, I don't think we had a podcast at that point. So if you caught that Ohtani home run ball, what are you doing with it? What are you asking for from the Dodgers?
I think I'm keeping it. I think I'm getting it officialized. I think I'm getting it stamped. I think I'm doing all that official stuff. And then I'm walking out of the stadium. I'm keeping that ball for the next 10 years, and then I'm selling it.
Oh, come on.
What?
It's just business. It's just business for you.
I mean, how many other home run balls have I caught?
None, right?
Not really, no.
You never caught a game home run ball?
No.
So you would keep that one?
Of course. I put it right next to my jersey of Pete Rose.
It would be hard for me to just say, I'm going to walk out of here and take it home. Obviously, it'd be cool. I have Shohei Ohtani's first Dodger home run. Like, that's just really cool. But, you know, I know what it means to him and, you know, Dodger history and all that. So I'd probably hand it over back. And I see a lot of things on social media saying, I'd get season tickets. I'd ask for this. I'd ask for that. I didn't think about season tickets. The first thing that came in my mind was a signed jersey, signed bat, signed ball, and meet Shohei Ohtani and take a picture. I'll be happy.
Yeah, that's pretty much, if I weren't to, you know, keep the ball and sell it, that'd be, you know, my get-go to ask.
I think we all walk away pretty happy after that, right? So, that'd probably be my request if I did catch that ball. And so, I think they got a couple of hats and a signed baseball or a signed bat. And that, I think that's what they got. So, you know, good for them. I would ask for a little bit more, a baseball, a bat, and a jersey. So, overall, great night for the Dodgers. Great series for the Dodgers. Great homestand for the Dodgers. And now they will hit the road to take on the Chicago Cubs for the first road series of the season. They go to Chicago and they'll go to Minnesota following Chicago. So a couple of cold cities. Hopefully we don't get no rain delays. It just seems like they're going to get a couple of rain delays on this road trip. It's going to be really unfortunate, but we'll see. Before we do talk about the Cubs here for a second, the Dodgers did add Taylor Trammell, and they place Hayward on the IL. Hayward dealing with some back tightness, so we haven't seen him for a few days, and he lands on the IL. Taylor Trammell, do you know about Taylor Trammell?
I do not, no.
Okay, yeah. I think he was a top prospect. I want to say for the Padres or somebody. He's bounced around so many teams, I don't even know anymore. But he was once upon a time a top prospect, and he's bounced around, been released by numerous teams, and now the Dodgers just picked him up. So he's had major league experience, hasn't really quite put it together. The Dodgers added him to the roster, so he's on the 26-man roster, so we'll see what he does. I'll be interested to see what he does on this next road trip. Looking forward to that. But the Cubbies at Wrigley Field, 3-day games. So grab your coffee early in the morning. 3-day games this weekend at Wrigley Field, taking on the Cubs. On Friday, it'll be Bobby Miller going against Kyle Hendricks. Saturday, it'll be Yoshinobu Yamamoto going against Jordan Wicks. And the Sunday finale will be Gavin Stone against Shoto Imanaga. When I tell you about the Cubbies and the Dodgers, what comes to your mind off of those matchups?
Shota Imanaga. You know, the Cubbies signed him, I believe, from... Oh, man. I don't remember if he's from the Korean League or the Japanese League. He's from one of those leagues, and his first start, he was pretty good. And he went 6 innings, had a handful of strikeouts, no runs given up. So I look forward to seeing what the Dodgers lineup can do versus him. And, you know, I like Dansby Swanson. You know, I think his signing with the Cubs was pretty cool at the time. It's a nice fit for him. His wife plays for the soccer team there. And our beloved MVP, Cody Ballinger. You know, I'm sure whatever Dodger fans are there, you know, they're going to be there in attendance, you know, giving him his cheers, giving him his applause. So I look forward to seeing him back.
Yeah, it seems like you can't talk Cubs and Dodgers without talking about Cody Bellinger, right? So, yeah, former Dodger MVP, world champ and all that. So always good to see him. Definitely still bittersweet. Definitely still bittersweet. You know, wish it could have ended differently. But Cody is a Cub, and looking forward to seeing him against Bobby Miller, Yamamoto, and Stone. Pretty good pitcher for the Dodgers. So they lined up for the Cubs purposely. They knew what they were doing with those three guys throwing. So the Cubbies 4-2 on the season, off to a pretty good start. It should be an intriguing series, as always. Looking to come away with this series win at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. Is there anything else you want to add before we move on to Between the Lines?
Gavin Stone making one of his, I believe his second start this season. So look forward to what the young guy can do.
Yeah, do not sleep on Gavin Stone. Remember I said this, do not sleep on him. He's going to have a pretty good season this year, I think. I think he'll be in the Dodger rotation maybe throughout the season. So looking forward to it. Cubbies and the Dodgers from Chicago. Ready for Between the Lines?
Let's do it.
First question. What's the worst advice you've ever given?
The worst advice I've ever given? Probably when you give... come back to me on that. I forgot how to word it.
Okay. Yeah, this one is a odd one for me. I don't know. It's really tough to think about. I was kind of hoping that you would get me started on that.
I was thinking about when someone gives you like bad advice or like wrong advice. Not necessarily, but like when you're looking to hear something that like you can't figure out. And then someone like gives you advice, but it's just like completely like off-putting. It's like, no, like that's not what I was looking for. Like something like that.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of cases of that, I guess. Yeah, I guess maybe not giving advice at all is the worst advice I've ever given.
Yeah, that's definitely some bad advice. Why wouldn't you go and look for advice?
Exactly. So that's my answer. Moving along, what book would you bring to a deserted island?
What book? I'd probably bring the book called How to Survive on a Deserted Island 101.
Okay. So you were not much of a reader?
No, like I'm literally going to read it like I'm literally bringing a book with me about, like, how I would survive on a deserted island.
You know what? That's actually pretty smart.
Yeah, like quite literally, like, bring a book about how to survive on a deserted island, if I'm on a deserted island.
Yeah, you outsmarted me on that one. I was thinking, like, The Hunger Games. I read The Hunger Games growing up. I didn't watch the movies. Did you watch those movies?
Of course I watched the movies. The movies are great.
I didn't watch the movies, but I read the books. I gotta watch the movies, but Hunger Games.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hunger Games, Diary of the Wimpy Kid. I used to love those. Something like that.
Okay, yeah. The Diary of a Wimpy Kid series. You know, I think I remember going to like Target or Walmart not too long ago, and you know, the guy still makes them. So I don't know how long he's been in middle school. Another series I did read growing up was the Percy Jackson series. And then there's like another like five books after that called like The Heroes of Olympus. Those were like some great books. Like I remember having fun reading those. So I would take those.
Yeah, those would be like my option three. Because I actually did read those too. The Percy Jackson, all that Greek mythology stuff. I was actually into that stuff. So I did read those books.
Yeah, Rick Riordan was like, he was cooking with those books. Did you ever look into the ones that came after it, the Heroes of Olympus?
I think I did, but I never really got fully into it. I got like maybe one of those.
Okay. I pretty much read all of them. They were like really good. So those books were, I think, were read by like a lot of people our age growing up.
Yeah, those days were kind of fun reading back in the day. And finally, would you classify yourself as a leader or a follower?
Man, it depends on the situation. I mean, I guess on the situation, you know, it would make you a leader or a follower. You know, most of the time, like, I like leading. But, you know, I like having, like, good advice around me, you know? Like, I won't have, like, if I have to lead, like, I guess I'm okay with it. But, like, I wouldn't follow, like, an idiot, if that makes sense. Like, I'll call out an idiot.
Right. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Like, I'm not like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely a leader. Look up to me every time. But I'm not saying I'm always a follower either. Definitely don't follow every lead or anything like that. But I do my own thing at times. So, yeah, kind of the same boat, situational type of thing. I could go both ways.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, following the right leader is definitely a good choice. You know, following a dumb leader, you know, I think you have to step up and do something.
Yep, most definitely. So that is all we got for you guys on today's show, Dodging Through the Ravine. We appreciate you guys for listening on in. Be sure to like, review, share the pod, follow the pod, and hope to see you guys back here again on Dodging Through the Ravine. With that being said, we'll talk to you guys again on Sunday at the conclusion of the Dodgers and the Cubbies. With that being said, go Dodgers.
Thank you to everybody who's watching, all current and new viewers. We appreciate your support. If you hit the like, follow the stream, do all that good stuff. We really appreciate the support. It means a lot to us. We will see you again on Sunday night after the Dodger game. We will be potting again. And lastly, like always, wherever you are, have a healthy one, have a safe one, and go Dodgers.